A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 154. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion about Undermined. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was an 11-episode series that ran on ITV in 1965. It was a strange sort of invasion conspiracy thriller. And it was done in black and white. It had standalone episodes that had, you know, definitely full stories in them. But there was a slowly emerging plot line or story arc that ran the length of it as well.
Interesting show. Sort of forgotten in a way, I think, Brian, or overlooked, perhaps. It's certainly not a name that springs to mind when you think of some of the classic genre shows from the 1960s. Which sort of leads me to the question, because this was one you discovered, Brian. How did it come across your attention?
I actually saw it on Amazon for the Region 2 release, showed up as an Amazon recommendation because I had bought, you know, other 1960s shows and sort of sci-fi and conspiracy shows for them. So really, it was just the fact that the DVD was released. I saw that. So it's... Yeah, something that it had this original broadcast and it had a DVD release, but not much has been said about it or written about it outside of that. So it's great to be able to talk about one of these shows that is not so well known.
It is, that's right. It is an obscure and interesting show, overlooked, and certainly one of the sort of stranger little gems we found here while we've been doing British Invaders.
Absolutely.
So let's get back to the story of Undermined. As we said last time, Drew Herriot and his dead brother's wife, Anne, are investigating what they begin to call the Undermined, which are important figures in British society who appear to have been brainwashed, possibly by strange high-pitched sounds that they hear. And that's the mystery of what's going on that emerges during these 11 episodes.
Yes, it sounds like there may be some sort of thing that only certain people can hear, and that allows them to be brought under this strange influence that is somehow coming from the outside, from somewhere else. And as they go, they find more and more of this conspiracy of these people acting under this sort of alien influence. And it's only at the end of the series that we really start to find out exactly what this influence is and why it's doing what it's doing and why these various people are doing these sort of strange things that seem to be destabilizing society or causing controversies or unrest and riots and different sort of things in different ways. So it brings us into some interesting and complex things about society and stability and this type of thing.
Yes, it is an interesting and strange one. As you say, the conspiracy does seem to want to destabilize British society by getting at these notable figures. And of course, that takes the investigations into all sorts of different parts of society or different aspects, so that we get episodes where, for instance, they're talking about astrological forecasts and predictions, and that seems to have some bearing on the conspiracy. We also get an episode about a political assassination attempt, which is a revenge plot by the IRA. So that's quite sort of strange and dark.
Yes, that was pretty intense.
Yes. And of course, as we mentioned in our last episode, we've got this one particular story set in and around the goings-on of a high-class escort agency. Although, having said that, it's fairly clear what's going on at this escort agency. And for 1960s television, fairly sort of, direct and adult grown-up stuff, I think.
Yes, absolutely. There was some pretty hard-hitting stuff there. They also dealt with things like subliminal messages being inserted into pop music and hidden messages in children's fiction. These sort of things that were sort of popular ideas at the time. Also, they would frequently have Anne Harriet getting a job somewhere undercover. She seemed to be able to get jobs doing all sorts of things, but they were generally sort of entry-level jobs, so it was a little more believable than in some other shows where a character seems to be able to do almost anything, but it added sort of an element of desperation that people like Anne Harriet were willing to, try doing almost anything in order to get some information related to these things.
Yes, it is interesting. As you say, it's a sort of reasonably familiar trope, particularly from the 60s, where the female investigator would go undercover. So you'll be familiar with that, obviously, from the Avengers. But you mentioned before, when we were discussing this, Brian, about Adam Adamant Lives, where it's done, but perhaps not as done as well as here.
That's right. I think it was more repetitive and less believable in the way it was done in Adam Adamant Lives. It was okay there, but it did seem like a real repeating thing. Where, in this case, it seemed like something that did happen a few different times, but in each case it sort of made sense that they were doing it that way, and that they were things that, in a pinch, Anne Harriet would be able to go and do some of these different things.
Okay. Also interesting, as we've said, is these developing science fiction ideas in this show. About mind control and about brainwashing and about this mysterious signal that appears to cause it. We've got in the early episodes, we've got this character, Professor Randolph, a science fiction writer himself, who sort of gives us some of the science background to it and speculates as to what might be going on. And it all slowly emerges over the course of the series as to what the mystery is.
Yes, we slowly get more of the how, of how this works and how they may be controlling people or influencing people. And at the same time, we're getting more about what this alien influence might be and why it's doing things, and some elements of who is behind it as well. So it doesn't give you everything, but it slowly builds up and gives you more and brings you to definitely, I would say, a satisfying conclusion.
Okay, interesting stuff from the 1960s, which, as we've noted, seems to have been the decade of conspiracy and perhaps paranoid fiction. And here on television, we've got this one example we're discussing now, but we've had others which we'll mention in a moment. And I was wondering why was the 60s so hot on this particular subject? Here in Britain, we had a famous statement from the Prime Minister at the time about the white heat of technological revolution. And I wonder if in some way the shows like Undermind reflected the public's fear about science and what it was developing into, and all these ideas that we got about mind control and brainwashing and so on.
Well, you did have ideas about science advancing faster than society was and that sort of thing. But another huge element in this, I would have to say, is the Cold War.
Right.
And, there were all these ideas of the outsider and the outsiders among us, you know, the spies working for the enemy, and all of these ideas of, you know, traitors among our midst, and, you know, sort of the enemy that is not attacking us directly or not yet attacking us directly that we don't understand well, and the sort of mysterious enemy who may be closer than we think. And these were sort of really heavy Cold War ideas that came into a lot of fiction over a wide span of time, but certainly a lot in the 1960s.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. I mean, we touched on it, I suppose, earlier in the 50s with particularly the second Quatermass. So Quatermass 2 had this sort of strange invasion plot going on in that, and that was interesting stuff. But we've also covered other shows, and the obvious example, I suppose, would be The Prisoner, but also A for Andromeda perhaps had this idea again about science getting, you know, going faster than society could keep up with. So lots of interesting shows from around this time.
Yes, absolutely. The Prisoner was a little bit more explicit about the Cold War connections, but certainly there was a lot of metaphor and reference to the outsider and the outsiders among us and those kinds of things in shows like A for Andromeda. We also had things like The Year of the Sex Olympics with its sort of strange paranoia ideas, and The War Game, which was directly Cold War related and sort of fear of nuclear war and nuclear outcomes. And then we had things like UFO, which was an adventure series on the one hand, but also fairly adult on the other hand, and had the mysterious aliens we didn't understand very well. And of course, when we do start seeing them the odd time, they're actually dressed up in red. So I thought there was sort of a real Cold War kind of influence there, too.
All right, very interesting. Yes, UFO, as you say, another sort of secret invasion show. And I guess the similar one in America on US TV would have been the show which was actually called The Invaders.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm not particularly familiar with that show, but again, I think that has the similar theme of the sort of secret invasion going on.
And you definitely see it here in Undermined as well.
So it's interesting stuff, these science fiction ideas that come in and the sort of conspiracy and paranoia and all this stuff about brainwashing. There's lots of stuff going on over these 11 episodes.
Absolutely. So let's get into some of our own thoughts, the good and the bad, if you like. Eamon, what did you like about Undermind?
Well, I think it's a fascinating build-up and a fascinating idea from Robert Banks Stewart. You know, he's a good, capable writer, and this idea he's come up with here, and the way, I suppose, he's controlled it over these 11 episodes to slowly reveal what's going on, I thought that was very good.
Yes, that was very well done. This was a show that had very definitely standalone episodes, but the series as a whole also told a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it had what we would now call an overall story arc. And I think it was really ahead of its time in that respect, because it had sort of both things. It had the strong standalone stories and the overall story arc. And this is the sort of format that it used that we see a lot more of now, and we also saw it in the 1970s with Terry Nation's shows Survivors and Blake Seven. So it was interesting seeing some of that structure so early here in the mid-60s.
Okay, very interesting stuff there. I'm astonished in a way at how much time the show was given to build up the plot. I think if it was done now, we'd expect to see much more details of the secrets by the end of the first episode almost, Brian. So it was quite interesting that this was given such a long time to build.
Yes, it did have a very nice build-up, and it had lots of tension because of that and lots of mystery to it that was very well handled, I thought.
Okay, I also like the camera work, particularly in those early episodes where they seem determined to put us slightly off balance with some of the angles and some of the set design, and add to this feeling of tension and unease about something going on. So that was quite striking.
The performances in it, I thought, were quite good, especially with the two leads and also some of the sort of recurring characters that we've mentioned, the Dennis Quilley character and the John Barron character. I thought those performances really added a lot to this show. They were quite good.
Yeah, they are very good. Dennis Quilley, fantastic actor. As you say, John Barron really fits the part. You know, our leads are very good themselves. Jeremy Wilkin and Rosemary Nichols are all very good. And the supporting cast, you know, it's great. I mean, I'm perhaps slightly bothered by David Kelly's portrayal of the IRA assassin as a sort of comedy character. But apart from that, you know, it's a good cast.
Yeah, they did some nice things with the individual episodes. At the very beginning of the series, I was sort of worried that it might turn into sort of a repetitive, formulaic sort of thing, which I really don't think it did. It gave us something that was more varied and more interesting than that, and gave us a lot of different takes on exactly how Undermind might interfere with society by controlling a small number of people and using them for influence to destabilize things. And that, I thought, was quite well done.
Okay. All very interesting. Any other good points you want to pick up on, Brian?
I think that covers most of them. This was really very well done.
Okay. It is perhaps because of this slow build, you might find it a bit slow for modern tastes when we're, you know, sort of trained to expect such wham-bam action almost straight away. So this slow build in this sort of long 50-minute episodes can be a little bit tricky, I suppose, for a modern viewer.
Well, of course, this gets into a lot of questions of taste. I personally like this type of pacing they use, which certainly compared to a lot of things being done now is a little bit slow, but I enjoyed the reliance on, you know, using lots of dialogue and having sort of lots of tension in there. I thought that worked quite well.
Okay. I mean, it is, as you say, there is lots of dialogue and there aren't really many big action set pieces. So it is a talky show. And again, as you say, Brian, this comes down to your tastes, but an interesting obscure show from the 60s.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we should mention, of course, that it is in black and white. And at times, Brian, the picture quality and the sound quality do slip in the recordings that exist.
Yes, the DVD set that is available does not have the kind of picture quality that you might get from some of these shows that have been restored with quite an expensive restoration, as you have with some of the more mainstream, bigger audience things, even things like Doctor Who and so on. So that is a bit of a weakness. The video quality is not quite as good as we might hope.
Yes, because as we say, it's been put out pretty much as it exists by Network DVD. We have to be grateful for that, but it doesn't get the same sort of restoration that the Doctor Who releases from the 60s get, obviously.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
And, you know, as we've said, it's a very plain vanilla DVD release. There are no extras and there's no notes booklet with this one, which I sort of missed. And the Wikipedia page about Undermind is extremely brief. So it's a difficult show to find out any more information about.
This is one of the more obscure shows that we've covered. There just doesn't seem to be a lot that's been written or said about it. And the DVD set, while it provides a reasonably good package of those 11 episodes, doesn't have a lot of extra information with it.
Okay. As ever, we'd be delighted to find out more about this show. So this is a real opportunity. If you do know more about Undermind or you remember it, please come and join us on the Facebook page, or send us an email, or if you're feeling up to it, the Wikipedia page is calling out for expansion, really.
Yes, absolutely. So that brings us to our recommendations. Eamon, why don't you start? What did you think about this guy?
I enjoyed this show. It is slow to get going, and as I say, I'm amazed at how much time it was given. But it's a real sort of overlooked gem that we'd never heard of, or certainly I'd never heard of, from the 1960s. If you can cope with black and white and a slow build and a gradual feeling of increasing sort of tension and unease, then actually it's quite worth trying to get hold of this one. And I would say a sort of cautious yes from me, Brian.
Okay, I really enjoyed this show. I thought they did a great job on almost all of the individual episodes in the writing, the direction. Performances were generally very good. And having this overall story arc with a real beginning, middle, and end to it made for quite a powerful show. I think quite memorable, and it surprises me a little bit that this isn't something that we hear more about. So I would say very good stuff, and I would definitely recommend it. I was very impressed.
Okay, fascinating show, an overlooked gem. If you know more about it, or if you watch it as a result of hearing us talk about it, then please do jump in on the Facebook page or get involved and let us know about it.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Undermined was a 1960s black and white series that dealt with a strange influence that controlled some people's behavior. This outside influence leading to actions that were intended to destabilize society and brought you some strange, mysterious influences that we didn't entirely understand. And it gave us, in addition to these individual, more or less standalone episodes, an ongoing story arc that gave us a build-up and gave us something where we would find out and come to a resolution for this entire story.
Okay, great stuff. And please come back and join us next time when we're jumping from the 60s. We're going to flash forward to 1980. We're staying with ITV. And we're talking about a children's show called Noah's Castle, which gave us a sort of dystopian or even apocalyptic view of an alternative England.
Yes, interesting sort of near future fiction that gave us another look into the sort of darker approach to children's fiction that you had in the 1970s. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are on the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can find us there. We are on Facebook, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our group there.
You'll also find us on the Voice of Geeks Network, which is a streaming internet and radio. We have a Monday evening slot, but you'll find our old episodes there as well. That's vognetwork.com. And as ever, we welcome our Vogon listeners all around the universe.
Definitely, yes. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until next time, this is Eamon in England saying, listen to the high-pitched noise.